World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, got to be honest, man, I'm scrambling a little bit today, getting these last-minute things in line for our event coming up this weekend. Spence, if you can, throw that up there real quick, brother. Everybody knows about it. Certainly you know about it. Our event with Fritz Zimmerman and visits to the mounds here at Coach Dave Live here just east of Columbus, Ohio. Go online, register. All we're charging you for is your meals. The event is free. Got to get a hotel, and the last hotel, Spence, maybe you can click on that. It's in the chat as well. Is at the Lakewood Inn. It's a nice hotel. It's got a pool if you want to swim. It's a great rate. It's only about 2.5 miles away from the venue, but this is only going to be for the next 12 hours. If you're going to get a hotel, there's your hotel. Okay, there it is. We got a good rate, but they're not going to keep that rate for us for much longer. And we're going to hear from Fritz Zimmerman this weekend. Fritz is not in studio, but we're going to have him on the show here in just a second. A lot going on. I'm scrambling. You got Mo Grass. By the way, I got a septic tank going to be pumped out today. My wife's crazy trying to figure where everybody's going to stay. So just bear with us here. But it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful event. And again, Spencer's got it up there on the screen. We'd love for you. Come on. Come and be part of it. By the way, you wouldn't have to get a hotel on Friday night if you didn't want. Whatever. Saturday is when most of the stuff's going to happen. We're going to visit some of the sites. Sunday morning, you can leave. You don't have to stay on Sunday. So we're trying to make it as affordable as possible. Bring a friend with you. I'm going to show you something here as we dive into it. I grew up here. I was born and raised here, I was born in Lancaster. I was raised right here in the town of Hebron, which is connected to Buckeye Lake. Been here my whole life. And during my whole life that we were growing up here, we were very much aware of what they called the Indian Mounds in Newark, called the Circle Mounds. They told us the Hopewell Indians built them and did all that kind of stuff. They built a mall, and they called it the Indian Mound Mall. And that's just what it was. And they're everywhere throughout Licking County, out in the area in which we live, out here where I live. I live at the base of one of them. And it wasn't until I watched this video, this would have been, 20 years, I'm not making this up, 20 years ago maybe. Glenn Beck, folks, this is an extra biblical source. I don't know if you guys remember when Glenn Beck used to be had a daily show. God, it goes back a long way, doesn't it? And I'm sitting there in my living room, and I'm watching this presentation on the mounds in Newark, Ohio. Hey, there's Fritz. Hang on there, Fritz. We're getting rolling there. The mounds in Newark, Ohio. I thought, why? Because I live there, right? And I'm watching, and Glenn Beck is showing us this presentation of the mounds. And so that was the first thing that really woke me up. I'm just going to play a couple minutes of this, folks. Because, again, just a little bit of a to give some credibility to it. Here's Glenn Beck 10 years ago, 12 years, 20 years ago, talking about the mounds in Newark, Ohio, which, by the way, when you come to the event, you're going to get a chance to visit them. Okay? Play that real quick, Spence.
Is made up of 606 feet, 606 feet, 606 feet, 606 feet. 606. It's made up of stades. Exactly the same. Now, if that's not interesting enough, look at the angle of the Great Pyramid of Giza. If you take the angle of the Great Pyramid of Giza, the slope is 51.8 degrees. Let's go back to the earthworks. If you measure the line that goes straight through the center of the structure, right here, and then you go true north, it's 51.8 degrees. That angle is exactly the same angle as the pyramids of Giza. It is the same math, the same calculations as ancient Egyptians. Let me show you one more connection. In 1860, David Weyrich, he's a guy who surveyed the Newark
earthworks. Freeze this a second. Folks, because as Fritz is going to explain to us here in a second, these were found right over the hill. Right over the hill from where you're going to be this weekend, right over the hill is where these were found. Go ahead and play that.
Earthworks, and he found a way, the Newark earthworks. He was digging into a mound near those earthworks, and he found a wooden coffin made of oak. They opened up the coffin and found a skeleton of a man holding a little box. It was about 8.10 inches in size. The box had been cemented shut here. This, by the way, is sitting in Ohio. Well, he opened up the box and he found a little man inside, a little black stone. They took it to scholars and they looked at it. The man seems to be carrying something, and there's writing here at first they couldn't recognize. The writing is, they thought in 1860, some sort of Hebrew. Well, finally, about 20 years later, they found some rabbis living in the area, and the rabbis looked at that, and they could read it. They said it was an old, old kind of block Hebrew, and it was a rendition of the Ten Commandments. Now, this is another piece. Block Hebrew, they said they'd never seen anything like it. Mainstream archaeologists at the time called this a hoax. But then in 1900, or just about after 1900, in Israel, they found the same block-style Hebrew writing. Mainstream archaeologists still dismissed the findings. They found it in Israel, and they found it in Ohio. But there was another stone that they found that they couldn't argue. This is the Bat Creek Stone. It was found during the course of an official Smithsonian evacuation. The Smithsonian didn't understand the meaning of the writing on the stone. They thought it was Cherokee, since it came from Cherokee country. They didn't realize that it's actually Hebrew. They had published this originally upside down. They threw it in a box at the bottom of the Smithsonian, put it in the basement. Many years later, a scholar took it out of the box, looked at it, and went, oh my gosh, it's upside down. It's Phoenician, ancient Hebrew. So what's going on here?
Okay, freeze Glenn Beck, folks. Just give me a little bit. Now, Fritz, I don't know how much stock you put in Glenn Beck as to whether or not he knows what's going on. But Fritz, you're the expert, and we're excited that you would join us here this morning. What's your initial reaction there, Fritz, to what you heard Glenn Beck say?
We know that it's really interesting when he's drawing the 51.8 degree angle, because I posted that yesterday and there was somebody that contacted me, and he said that if you draw a line that's going through the circle and the octagon, that line is going to go
on the screen now. Right? We got it on the screen now. Go ahead.
Yeah, that line going through the octagon that Beck had goes to the pyramid. I mean, it's a straight line through the octagon to the pyramid. Now, I have a archaeologist that I work with. I contacted her yesterday, and I said, verify this, because that would be huge, that if the circle and the octagon, true north, well, one, we have the 51.8, which is the angle of the pyramid. But if this goes on a straight line right to the pyramids, it would be huge. So that's just real interesting that you're showing that this morning, because that's something that I'm working on. I have somebody else working on right now. So fascinating.
Well, Fritz, I didn't mean to dump in right in the middle of it. Fritz Zimmerman.
It's perfect, actually. Perfect, because that's what we're working on right now. So I should have that today, but I'm definitely for the talk by on Friday. We might have some really exciting results on that.
Hey, Fritz, so what would you say right now? Because I see it in the chat right here already. The highest historical society, all the big wigs in Washington, they say, oh, this is all bunk. This isn't real. This is all made up. What would be your response to that? By the way, Fritz, you've given your life to doing this. You're not just some fly-by-night guy who's come across something, doing a little bit of research on it. Fritz, is this valid? Because if this is valid, man, this really, really changes all of history, doesn't it, Fritz? Because I just showed the little stone, all that stuff, Phoenician being in America before Columbus sailed. What the heck's going on, Fritz?
Well, you got to understand that academia, which is the news and, you know, the colleges and everyone else, they can't admit this because it's not woke. They
it's
are
biblical
tied
too, right?
I mean, they're trying to say it's the Shawnee Indians. Like, well, the Shawnee Indians didn't bury their dead in mounds. I mean, the Shawnee Indians certainly didn't have advanced mathematics that we'll get into. And then just the screen you have up right now, that triangle, yeah, that goes from the octagon to the middle of the circle or the hinge to Geller Hill, which is the highest point of land there around the Newark. It's not that high. It's about 70 feet higher than everything else. But it makes a perfect isosceles triangle, and it shows that these people were doing surveying. And, of course, you know, my theory is that these were the Amorites. The Amorites are the kind of giants in the Bible. They're mentioned in the Bible 88 times. Mm. So it's just not a couple. 88 times they're mentioned. And they were expert surveyors. They knew mathematics. They knew Pythagorean triangles. They knew all that stuff. And I believe they brought this to the Ohio Valley. And so, just this triangle is one example of that. And then the other two maps in black and white are how it works out with maximum moon sets, minimum moon sets. Of course, that the octagon is all aligned to. So, we just have advanced mathematics, trig, Pythagorean triangles, pi, square roots.
So
squared Fritz, circles.
Here's what I say to people, and I'm going to shut up here and let you go, and you can show us the videos however you want to. Fritz, whoever did this, I grew up here, Fritz, been here my whole life. It's an Indian man. We have an Indian mountain mall. Everything's Indian mounds. Fritz, whoever did this had to sit high and look low, didn't they, Fritz? Somebody had to be above this to be able to construct because it's over so massive a period. This isn't just like in somebody's backyard, they built some mounds. This is goes on for, what, a mile and a half, 2 miles, Fritz, this configuration?
Well, yeah, you can see on this yellow triangle, 7,390 feet, 1.4 miles. So it's not by line of sight. It's too far for that. And why would they do that? You would never know going to the Newark Earthworks like, oh, I think this is a perfect isosceles triangle. You would never know unless you're looking at this diagram from the air. And right. You know, and well, most people don't realize, and there's a couple of drawings in there, but that circle in the octagon, there is a regulation golf course in the center of that. So this isn't something the size of somebody's backyard. We're talking 40 acres, 35 acres.
And Fritz, we're going to take people and they're going to be able to go there and see these things, including Fritz, the alligator mound, which is on top of a hill, which is that's a half a mile, at least a half a mile away from it. All of it configured, meaning what? Somebody coordinated this from a geometric, however, it all runs together, Fritz. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
It is, and it's, you know, it's not selecting certain pieces of evidence. It's just as a whole that everything fits. Everything is squared circles. I just posted this morning on squared circles and the Newark Earthworks, how it's all squared circles where equal areas of all of the circles and the squares. The perimeter of the square, the right square opposite the great circle, is equal to the circumference of that circle. So all this math going on. And see, that's inside stuff. You would never know that by looking at it. So it was the people that were making it, the ancient geometers who built this. That was important for them, that it not only be area, but mathematically equal. And that was part of their religion, which just isn't part of any Native American religion of sacred geometry. But it is an old world religion, something that the ancient Amorites, the counter giants in the Bible, were practicing.
And Fritz, the video I showed there of Glenn Beck before we started, if that were true, then that's pre-Columbus coming over here. Isn't that right, Fritz?
Oh, absolutely.
Let me stop there a second, Fritz. Let me stop you a second. This is for slow people out here in Ohio. Pre-Columbus means that stone that Glenn Beck showed you was here before Christopher Columbus discovered America, friends. The history of that. And what was already here? This Phoenician language, these Ten Commandments. By the way, that stone is still in a museum in Coshocton, Ohio, not far from here. And Fritz, this whole thing blows the whole evolution story, blows all of that out of the water, does it not, Fritz?
Well, it does. And, you know, Beck mentioned it was in block Hebrew. Well, they didn't, when that stone was found, they really didn't know what block Hebrew was, because that's ancient Hebrew. Now, you got to keep in mind, too, that the Amorites were Semitic speaking. They spoke the language of the Hebrews. There's some line in the Bible, I don't know, it's Chronicles, but it says God is talking to them. He says, your mother is a Hittite, your father is an Amorite. So the Amorites and the Hebrews were linked together. And so could that have come over here and been part of that mound? But it's awfully strange. But yeah, this is the mound in your backyard, 50-foot stone mound. Would be known today as one of the wonders of the world had they not destroyed it. But there is small remnant of it left, and we will be investigating that. But yeah, it's now archaeologists and everyone else says it's a hoax. But I don't know. That's just up to you.
Yeah.
You know, I was at block Hebrew before they knew what block Hebrew was.
Let's work backwards a little bit, Fritz, because I jumped in right in the middle here of a running start. Take a few minutes to tell us, who the heck are you, and how did you get involved in studying? First of all, Fritz, you believe the Genesis 6 Nephilim giant story is real.
Right. There were giants in those days, and awful after that means before and after the flood. And, you know, my work started in 1995, so I'm 30 years plus. And the thing I have that, you know, right place, right time, it's how history works sometimes. The largest genealogical library in the country is here in Fort Wayne. It's like six blocks from me. I've never lived in the last 30 years more than five blocks from it. That means I can go to Licking County, Ohio, and I can pull all of your histories. Coshocton, Ohio, Franklin County, Ohio, all of them in Kentucky, Illinois, Pennsylvania, New York. And so I was able to just look at more. I mean, this is for the internet, basically. I mean, internet was so slow back then, you couldn't do research on it. Hard catalog. But I mean, I had all those books. So just the county histories was like 5,000 books that I had to go through and just kept finding large skeletons. And I could have come out with my book, you know, Nephilim Chronicles, Fallen Angels in the Ohio Valley came out 2010. I probably could have come out with that in 2002, but it was trying to find out who these people were. There's a lot of giant books out there. It's just a list of giants. What I offer is all the evidence of mathematics, numerology, and try to tie it, or, you know, convincingly tie it to the ancient Levant and the account of giants in the Bible known as the Amorites.
Why here, Fritz? Why here in Nephilim Central, as L.A. Marzulli calls it?
Well, you know, that's always been a good question, but, you know, you have hills and you have plains. Generally, you're always going to find mounds where the ground starts getting hilly. So if you're in flat lands, probably not going to have as many mounds. Like Northern Ohio doesn't have very many. Right. It's that Columbus, Ohio line. And that's when you start running into the hills of Southern Ohio. And they preferred that. And, you know, you have, you're not that far from the water drainage back to the Atlantic. You have the Ohio River drainage going to take you to the Gulf of Mexico. It's not too far north where you can, the rivers will start flowing north up into Lake Erie. And then that can take you up into, you know, New York and the St. Lawrence Seaway. So it's just perfectly positioned in the middle. And I think that's why they stayed there.
And the Flint, what about the Flint, Fritz? Because we have a place just down the road called Flint Ridge, which has probably the world's largest deposit of flint, which the Indians used for their weaponry. Isn't that true?
Well, I mean, there's, you know, here in Indiana, we have Harrison County flint, and that's the gray. You ever see gray? That comes from Harrison County. But the thing about the Flint Ridge is if you heat that up, it would turn this pretty pink color. So it was very desirable because it was so pretty. Now, do you know, no, it might be part of our trip. I've never been to Flint Ridge. I've never seen it. That might be some
place. We'll take you there. It's kind of overgrown. It's got trees and everything on it. It's not really like you go and say, wow, there it is. It's a ridge and there are trees on it in a park there. But yeah, it's only maybe 10 miles away from here. So Fritz, let me back you up. Let me back you up again here, because there are a lot of people in here. Fritz, even though we know it says Genesis 6 says there were giants in the earth in those days and also after. And we hear the story about Goliath and Goliath having brothers. And the idea of giants in the Bible isn't some just made up story. It's throughout the Bible, is it not, Fritz?
It is. And, you know, Goliath, it says in there, he was a remnant. So the giants were long gone by the time that story happens. And they say he's a remnant. So somehow he was in the bloodline. But it wasn't like in the time of Abraham and Moses, when the Amorites were a real tribe. They were somebody that was there. Abraham hung out with Og. You know, that's in the Bible. But it was real. And the Amorites were real people. They controlled Babylon from 2000 BC to 1600 BC. Hammurabi's laws, it was the first laws that went on the books. That was the Amorites. They were a base 60 or base 12. They came up with the 12-month calendar. So when you look at a clock with the 12 hours, that's Amorite. A foot, which is 12 inches, that the measure that they use, I mean, we know that because there's earthworks that are match up to Amorite numerology, but they were using our foot, the 12-inch foot. Mm. So it's something that we really have today, part of their culture. It was a real people. So it's again where, you know, the Bible is like the best history book there is, but most people don't realize that. History book, and the people in there are real.
So Fritz, they call them the Hopewell Indians, but the ones that supposedly, folks, the ones who built the mounds here were Indians called the Hopewell Indians. But if I understand that right, Fritz, Hopewell was simply the guy who discovered what he thought was this tribe. Yeah. There wasn't anything such as Hopewell Indians, right?
Well, it was the Mordecai Hopewell. It was on his farm. And see, those artifacts were different than the ones on the Edina estate, which was in Chillicothe. So the Edina state was, now the Edina were really the Amorites. And who they call Hopewell were Dakota Sioux Indians. So were Indians involved in this? Yeah, kind of off. I mean, they were getting knowledge from the Amorites. But it was the Native Americans were part of it, and then eventually they just interbred to the point where, you know, they didn't exist anymore. But well, that, and there was a cataclysmic volcano in 535. Nothing dates past 535. It was the nuclear winter for about 5 years, destroyed that. That's when Rome fell. Tehuantecan in Mexico fell, and the Ohio Valley fell apart.
Boy, we don't know history at all. Hey, Fritz, if you could, and I'm going to open up for some questions here. Just do a little presentation for us of the mounds that are right here in Licking County. And I know that you've probably sent some links to Jared, and he'll walk you through them. Because, Fritz, as you know, until people understand what we're talking about, they don't get it. They don't get it. And Fritz, let me ask you this question. Have they ever found any bones of giants?
Yes. There was a 7'8" skeleton on display in West Virginia in their museum. And before that, there was an 8-foot giant that was on display in the museum there. But they're all hidden away, tucked away. See, now the woke say you can't even show a picture of a skeleton. But yeah, they're the Smithsonian. Had a lot, you know, they took a lot back to Washington, D.C. They were on a mission to grab all the skeletons because then it became their deal under Cyrus Thomas that any evidence that would refute that Native Americans were the builders was to be destroyed. And that is what the archaeologists are working on today.
Anything you believe that would... Fritz, you believe right now, if we could get into the Smithsonian, that there are giant bones buried and hidden in there somewhere?
Yeah, if we could get into the museum at Grave Creek, there's one in there. It's never been moved, but it's got the bulging brow ridge, slope skull. These giants had a different skull type than modern Homo sapien. They were actually a different species of man. Their faces were so different. They were a different species, which the Bible alludes to when it says they were the product of fallen angels and the women. So they were a hybrid race. Now, some people say it's the fallen angels. Some people would say it was because they mixed with Neanderthal. They gave them that look. But yeah, they were different. And there are skeletons, but... You're certainly not going to go into a left-wing museum and go view it. So that's just not going to happen.
Fritz, if we could, I've got your Facebook. Go ahead and click on that. Spit, I asked you to make a presentation and I haven't given you any time to do that. Maybe if we went to your Facebook page, Fritz, or if you did, I don't know if you got any links to Jared or not. Pull that Facebook page up there, Spence, if you would. There's Fritz's Facebook page. Anything there significant, Fritz? That
scroll down a little bit. Just look at that top picture. Scroll down to the very top of the page.
Go back to the top, Jared. There you go.
That picture right there. Okay, you know what we're looking at there? That's the Henge at Newark, Ohio. A Henge is a circular earthwork.
6 miles down the road. Six miles down the road from here. Go ahead, Fritz. I'm sorry.
That sunset is October 31st. And I was just there in May 1. May 1 is Beltane. And if you're in the center of it, looking east, the sun will rise on that gateway. Now, the Ohio Historical Disconnection built their museum in the gateway, so you have to wait for it to clear that. But on October 31, which is actually more spectacular, October 31 is Samhain. That's more associated with the Celtic religion. However, the Celts learned their religion from the Amorites when they were in England and Scotland, and they were all over there. But the Celtic religion really is what they were practicing in the Ohio Valley. And we know that Beltane actually had its roots with the Amorites. That's the origin of May 1 and October 31. So this picture right up here, that's October 31 sunset there at the Newark Henge. pretty spectacular.
Folks, we'll take you there. That's one of the places we're going to visit. The Circle Mounds is unbelievable. And right in the middle of the Circle Mounds.
Yeah, if you pull down and look at some other pictures, you can. I just wanted to show you that picture up there.
Okay. And then, Fritz, at the Circle Mound, folks, and then it has an opening where the mound is not connected. And on the spring equinox, the sun comes up right in the middle of that opening, Fritz, and highlights what they thought maybe was a place where they sacrificed humans right in the middle of the circle. Am I telling that story right, Fritz?
Well, the circle is aligned to May 1, and there's plenty of things that are aligned to the equinox, but the large hinge is May 1, October 31. And see, that is something I discovered I knew about it about 8 years ago. I was finally able to, because sometimes you go to these sites. Like last year, I was there October 31, and at the last minute, I got clouds. And it would have been the same for them, you know, and I need a clear sunset. So that picture you had there was from 2 years ago. But we have October 31, May 1, Beltane and Samhain. And then the octagon, of course, is every one of those openings in the octagon is one of the lunar standstills, which it's an 18.6 precession of the moon from north to south. Takes 18 years. And then there's standstills, like the most northern moonrise, most northern moon set. That's what all that octagon is. It's a giant calendar. And then we're looking right now at those colors. Yes. The precession of the moon, of course, the precession of the sun. But if you look at that, the red circle and the red square, those are both the same, are equal areas. So it's squaring a circle. And then a square within the octagon is equal to that of the large hinge. The large hinge of what we just showed, which is the October 31 sunset. Now, what's interesting about this, and it's part of their religion of the geometers, one was to have circles and squares that have an equal areas. This is called the sacred marriage of opposites. It's the marriage between the sun father and the square earth mother or the lunar mother. And it's that balance of power that they tried to achieve. We would know that as the yin-yang, that yin-yang symbol where it's the same powers. But the square opposite of the hinge, each side of that square is 925 feet or a sum total of 3,700 feet. And that's the same as the circumference of the hinge. So they had to know pi r squared. They had to be able to get the circumference. And we're doing advanced mathematics to make this whole complex.
Yeah, you wouldn't have thought they would even know advanced mathematics, right? You wouldn't think they would even know them. And here they were without
unless they were Amorites.
Yeah,
unless they were Amorites. And we know they knew that. And we knew the Amorites. We have tablets from 2000, 1900 BC over in Babylon. And they were their tablets. They were working on Pythagorean triangles.
Wow.
So we know they knew that. Now we're going to say we're going to be woke. It's like, what Native American tribe was using Pythagorean triangles? And why would they care about equal areas of circles and squares? About perimeters and circumferences being the same. It's a tough argument to make.
Yeah, it is. Amen. Hey, Spence, real quick, let's just scroll down his page a minute because there's some things I want to point out here for the folks. This is Fritz Zimmerman's Facebook page, and he's talked about some of this. But keep going down there, Spence. I want him to see them. That was right there. That was a burial mound. Was that unearthed, Fritz? Obviously, this isn't a real picture, folks. But they did discover this. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes.
They discovered these huge giants. I'll shut up.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
So scroll on down a little bit more. We are going to take you, folks. Next picture. Keep going, Spence. Now, there, you sent me that little blue thing. That's a map, isn't it, Fritz, of where these alignments were and all that stuff, right?
Right. And this is a map of the Stone Mound. No, that's the Roberts Mound.
It's the Roberts Mound.
And then there, that picture before, they would place the skeletons where their feet would be in a common center. And it's interesting because, you know, over in England, we have the same skull types. We have mounds surrounded by a ditch. Same skull types. We have hinges over in England. We have hinges over here. Everything is the same. But they were doing this type of burial over in England as well. And the Amorites were there because it was the Bronze Age. And the same reason they were here getting copper, they were over in England getting tin. You needed those things to make bronze. The mound in the background is still there. It was much reduced. That was 2,700 feet high, or 27 feet high, the one in the background. This was a smaller mound in front of it that they destroyed. They used the clay from this mound to build the schoolhouse across the street. Schoolhouse is still there as well.
Wow, we're going to see some of this. Scroll the next picture because I want folks to see this. We are going to take you, folks. You will go stand on this picture right here. That is right down the road. This is the Fairmount Mound, and there's a cemetery at the bottom of it. And Fritz, why would they build a church right next to this mound, do you think? What the heck is that? That church is still there. That mound is still there. It's about 2.5 miles from where I'm sitting right now.
Well, you'll notice how that's on the top of the hill. So you go down towards your place. It goes down this hill. So from this mound, the 50-foot stone mound there on your property, that would have been visible. And so why the church did it? Well, the church preserved it. It's really one of the better preserved mounds. That mound there is 15 foot high. Okay, and that's big, right? And the Roberts Mound we just looked at was 27 feet high. So imagine this mound twice as high. This would be about as high as that church steeple, but it was much reduced by the Ohio History Connection. But
so you think the church preserved the mound? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I do,
folks. I believe this is the high point. I don't know this for true, Fritz. You stand on top of that mound. That's the highest spot over Licking County. You can see down into Granville, into Buckeye Lake. You can see into Newark, all from that mound. So they knew these high places and where to build these mounds. Now, this has probably never been excavated, but would you think, Fritz, that maybe there are some bodies inside that thing?
I think that may be slight, but it doesn't look like it. Now, on an adjoining hill from this, I have a picture of this. There was a earthwork, and the Ohio Historical Society claimed there was two very large skeletons. And I tried to recreate that as part of the same post, and we have to back out of that and look at the other picture. But two very large skeletons were near this. So there's another hill. Either
Spencer,
behind
can you back out of that
there.
Picture? Back out of that picture for me, Spencer.
Okay, this isn't real accurate because actually it's looking down onto that. But there was two. What the Ohio Circle said, there were two stone mounds. Find a lot of giants in stone mounds, and this is an AI. This isn't real, but you know, I try to give people an idea of what it looked like back then. Opposed to just reading the text, you can kind of see. But it's Ohio Historical Society, and they described them as very large. So large would be six and a half feet. Very large, 7.5, maybe 8 foot. So they didn't really give the measure. And they're sneaky about that a little bit. You know, they didn't. I know they measured them. But they just said very large, so we're probably they're very big.
It's the spiritual significance.
The mound that we're going to go to. So that's kind of the backstory, having a little bit more information.
The spiritual significance of this, Fritz, is if these mounds are true, if there are giants buried in these mounds, then it And some what is evidence that the Bible story is true. And that's why they are afraid to make that connection. Exactly. Would you agree with that, Fritz?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So this should that's be of great interest to folks. This should be of great interest to Christians because this proves the truth of the Bible. I'm sorry, Fritz, to walk on you. Go ahead.
No, absolutely. You're correct. So the one line in the Bible, Genesis 6.
He froze up. Is that on his end or our end, Spence? And Spence says, uh-oh, it's on his end. We'll try to get that corrected. Scroll down. Let me talk a bit until we get him back in here, Spence. Go down. Look, folks, on Fritz's, Glenford, right over, folks, this is right over the other hill. It's called the Glenford Fort. We're going to give you an opportunity to go see the Glenford Fort. And if Fritz was in there, he'd be able to explain to us what the Glenford Fort was all about. These are Ohio Historical Society things that they're telling us the Indians created. The Indians created. Spence, I don't know how to help Fritz out. I don't know if you want to. Scrolling down. What else is on his page here? There's a Celtic Warriors bronze uncovered in Ohio burial mound. Now, these are from, some of this is AI created. We understand this, folks. But the scripture says there are giants in the earth in those days and also afterwards. Now, Spence, I'm going to see how good you are. See if you can find the quote from Abraham Lincoln where he talked about the giants at Niagara Falls. See if you can find that. Folks, this history has all been buried from us. All of it. There it is. Abraham Lincoln said what? When Columbus first sought this continent, when Christ suffered on the cross, he's standing at the Niagara Falls. When Moses led Israel through the Red Sea, nay, even when Adam first came from the hand of his maker, then as now, Niagara was roaring here. The eyes of that species of extinct giants whose bones fill the mounds of America have gazed on Niagara as ours do now. What are they hiding from us? I'm sorry, Fritz. Sorry we lost you there. I took him to the Abraham Lincoln quote, the fact that he said they were here. I'm going to shut up because I just keep interrupting, and I don't want to break the flow. Anybody have a question? Come on in here. Otherwise, Fritz, if you want to just keep going down that page and explain stuff to me, and I'll shut my mouth.
Okay. Abraham Lincoln. Now, the AP, the Associated Press, came out in 1845, I think. So what does that mean? It means that if they found a giant skeleton, it was in the Newark newspaper, the AP would pick it up. And Lincoln was reading about these giants. And in 1848, Lincoln was in Illinois, and he was heading back to Washington. So what he did was he took a steam boat. He looked at Cahokia, and then he went to Portsmouth, Ohio. He looked at the earthworks there, went north. I don't forget what road that is, but he went up to Piketon.
23. Another, U.S. 23.
Yeah. He went up 23 up to Piketon, and he stayed with the Barnes family at Sargent Station, which is right there by Piketon. But there's a circle in a square there at Piketon. And but anyway, I called it Abraham Lincoln's Magical Mystery Tour of Ohio. But he was reading about these giants and fascinated by them. So that quote you gave, well, you know, the wokesters will say, well, he's talking about mammoths. It's like, no, he was talking about the giants that he was reading about and was so fascinated that he came to Ohio to look at them. So, yeah, kind of a cool quote. That's just the backstory on that, though.
Hey, Spencer, see if you can pull up a picture of the what they call the alligator mound. Now, Fritz, people that are listening, they're probably already lost and confused. Folks, this is all right around it. It's all geometrically connected. The alligator mound, we're going to try to take you to the alligator mound. Could you explain that a little bit, Fritz, what that is? This is on a high hill over in the Granville, Ohio area, which is a little bit west of downtown Newark. And there's this mound shaped in the form of an alligator. Talk about that a second, Fritz.
Yes. And kind of the alligator's, the head, I have photos of this, is aligned also to May 1 sunrise. And so what would happen May 1? Well, the little salamander creatures would be warm enough for them to start running around. It was kind of symbolic of that, of the May 1 sunrise. And then I've not got a photograph of October 31, but I will go there this next October. But it is a line, and it just represents the beginning of May 1, would have been actually the beginning of summer, of things growing, producing life. So that's what it was, but it has its more, it has a purpose, and like the hinge, it is a solar marker.
Spencer, pull up Circle Earthworks, Newark, Ohio. I'm sorry, Fritz, I interrupt for a living. Folks, I'm telling you, you will be amazed by this. If you are able to come, there's the circle mount. Fritz, talk about that a second. Now, folks, this is an artist rendition. This is not an actual picture, but this circle mound is right now, currently, still in Newark, Ohio. You see the connection that goes to Geller Hill. This is beyond that. What is this? What is this, Fritz? This circle mound.
Okay. So where is the circle mound? If you look to the right, that circle, that's the hinge. This is the circle and octagon, and each one of those openings is one of the lunar standstill of the 18.6-year precession of the moon. And now what we're running through, if you draw a line, you see those two little spokes coming out of the one side of that. A line going through this might intersect with the pyramids of Giza. We're going to look into that. We're looking into now. And then you see those sacred vias kind of shooting off at a 45-degree angle. One of those would be where the whole house is. And I've talked to you about that, Dave.
Yeah.
That might be one of our stops. There was these circles on the outside of this sacred via. I'm not sure what they were for. Oh, actually, you know, I never noticed this. That first one you stop out, see how that house is in the middle of that circle? If you kind of go to the right at the 45 degree, there's, it's kind of showing one right there. There's a house in the middle of that.
Right.
So that's that. Now.
And Fritz, let me stop you a second. Right in the middle of the circle, right in the middle of the circle, Fritz, is where they sacrificed. When the sun comes up between those two things down here at the bottom, folks. Sun comes up right directly on the spring equinox. It comes up right in there, and then there's a mound out there in the middle, which they said they used for sacrifices. Would that be, you agree with that, Fritz?
You know, that is was one of my theories at one time. I really can't prove it, but yeah, that one opening is in the east, and yeah, there's a mound at each one of those gateway. There's a mound right there, and
folks, they're grass covered. It's a park. See if you can find a picture of it, Fritz. How long is this area we're looking at here right now?
Well, give you an idea, that's where there's a regulation golf course inside of that circle in the octagon.
18 holes of golf.
That's how big it is. Yeah, imagine an earthwork going around a golf course. Well, that's what this is. That's how big this is.
The World Heritage is taking that over, you know, Fritz. The World Heritage has grabbed control of that now. So we'll never know the truth about the mounds because of that, I'm sure.
Oh, not anymore. No, it's the globalist.
It's the globalist.
Got it. And it's the plan of the Ohio Historical Disconnection to hand all of the earthworks in the Ohio Valley over to this UNESCO. So it's run by foreigners. Which why we would want to do that, I don't know, but that's what they're.
Fritz, I'm all over the place as always. Fritz, it says in the scripture, the men's hearts are failing them for fear for the things coming upon the earth. Are these things coming back, Fritz? What's your take on that?
That is a little beyond me, you know? I mean, I can work on they were here, but what the future holds with them, I really don't know. And I've not really put a whole lot of thought in it. Some people would believe that to be true. So I won't dismiss it.
But Genesis, Genesis 6 tells us that these giants were the union of women and angels, fallen angels, that these were half supernatural beings, folks. And then, you know, you go through the whole thing. Then that became the demonic world, the demons that try to possess people, yada, 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 right? That's the spiritual connection. And here's what, from my standpoint, why this is so important. Why won't they tell us the truth about this? Why won't they tell us the truth? Well, Fritz, why have they never excavated any of these mounds?
Oh, well, they've excavated almost all of them.
Okay.
And, you know, doing great damage, you know, just like the Roberts Mound. I mean, it's not very big, or I think we had another picture of the Tippett Mound where that had a spoke burial. And so you go there today and you're only looking at maybe half the size of the mound of what it originally was. And why, you know, you dig into it, we'll put the dirt back and just, I mean, all right, I get you want to see what's in it. But when you're done, just put the dirt back,
That's right.
You know, and the 50-foot stone mound, you know, just, you couldn't get stone anywhere else. Well, they took 5,000 wagon loads. This is when horse and wagons, and I forget, each wagon could take 5,000 pounds. So 5,000 pounds times 5,000. That's how many pounds of stone they took from this stone mound. Like I said, it probably would be considered one of the wonders of the world. And
Spencer,
you know,
Spencer, pull up that says history vid. Pull that, because this is what Fritz is talking about. I can find the article. I don't have time to do it right now. Ohio's Lost Pyramid, as Fritz just said, 50,000 wagon loads of stone. Just, it says history vid, Spencer. Maybe you can click. Well, yeah, that's not the one I'm looking for. The Ohio's largest pyramid. Can you click on that, Spence? I don't know. Okay, well, they took all that. That's the fort, isn't that Glenford Fort? Anyway, folks, they took 50,000 wagon loads of these huge stones, and they used it to reinforce the north bank of Buckeye Lake back in the, I don't know when it was, 50,000 wagon loads of stone that was in one of these pyramids. And am I telling the story right, Fritz? There it is.
Close, 5,000 wagon loads.
There it is. Mounds of loose stones at the Jacktown Licking. See, it's Jacksontown, but Jacktown, that's what it was. That mound was there. The stones have all been taken, and they built the wall at Buckeye Lake all the way around. I'm all over the place.
Yeah, this is not a very, it's not a very good drawing either.
No, it isn't.
Because it looks like it's like 10 stones to the top, and it was just, yeah. This thing is just massive.
Over there.
Well, imagine, I don't know, like just your house, 3,000 square foot house. There would probably be 20 houses in there. Well, imagine having to bring in rocks into your house and fill every room of like 10, 12 homes. Everyone, I mean, all the way to the ceiling, every room filled completely full of rocks. Just the amount of work is staggering to build this thing. And it only contained the skeleton of one guy. It was one guy sitting on a wood coffin. He was just described as large. So we don't know. Again, you know, they get a little sneaky when they said, we have one large skeleton. And then in that grave is the Ten Commandments. So my belief is maybe there was some Hebrews over here and they put that in there to bless the work, because it wasn't right next to his coffin. It was just really close as a blessing, you know, to bless that mound, what was going on. Because they don't really mix. When we know the Amorites were Semitic speaking, so I don't know. It's a real
okay.
Mystery.
So
I was going to do that today. I was working on that yesterday, and I didn't do it because see, there's the the Ten Commandments, but then there's a keystone with Hebrew on it, and that was found at the Octagon, I think. And then there's another called the Wilson Mound. There's not one. There's another Wilson Mound south of Glenford Fort, and they found some Hebrew there. So there's about four spots around Newark that they found Hebrew tablets, and it's just, it's a real mystery to me. It's something I'm formulating an answer for.
Spencer, go to Zillow real quick. You say, what? You go to Zillow. I want to show you something here. Zillow, Z-I-L-L-O-W. Zillow.
Bob just mentioned Mandan spoke Hebrew. Well, you know, Bob, when Catlin went out there and looked at the Mandan, he said they looked European. He said that some had blonde hair, green eyes, red hair, green eyes. He said that for effect, they looked European. And it wasn't a few. It was a majority of them were European. And I just said that the Dakota Sioux were in the Ohio Valley. Well, the Mandan are Dakota Sioux.
Wow. Spencer, type in 6591. 6591. Chrisland. C-R-I-S-T. It should pop up. Chrisland. Hill. There it is. Type on it. Okay, folks, this is where we're holding the event. And by the way, Fritz, this is the first foothill of the Appalachian Mountains. So we call it Sky High. This is right next to the concert venue, to all this stuff that we're talking about, the Jacksontown Mound. This is it. See if you, Spencer, see if you can get through some. Those are old pictures.
Those are old pictures. You can see there's like a vista. You can see forever.
You can see forever. You can see, folks, 20. Yesterday, last night, I was in downtown Columbus, my wife and I, 27 miles to downtown Columbus. And you can step on the porch up at Sky High and you can see the skyscrapers. Visually, you can see them 27 miles. The land is that flat, but you look the other way, and it's all mountains. It's all rising. So this is the first foothill of the Appalachian. By the way, I don't know if it's worth 713. That's what Zillow says, all right? But this is where Sky High is. This is where we're going to have the event this weekend. And we'd love for you to be able to come and be part of it. Fritz is going to be there. He's going to do a presentation, going to take us to these mountains. So until you see it with your own eyes, you don't understand it. I'm just telling you, you just don't understand it. And That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Love for you to come. All you have to do is buy your own food. You register online, get it done quickly, and you get to shake Fritz's hand, look him in the eye, and ask him the questions. If there's an expert, there's an expert. It's Fritz Zimmerman. Bring his Facebook page back up, Jared, if you can.
And we're going to go down and look at the remnant of the mound, of the stone mound. Still parts of it are left. I think it's about 6-7 foot of it. Not much, but we can still, you can at least touch one of the rocks to kind of an idea, you know, how they build it. And then we're going to take a tour of the mounds. We'll be going here. We'll go into the Henge. We'll go to the Octagon, maybe go into the Alligator, Glenford Fort, the Fairmount Mound.
Yeah, so it's all right here.
I'll be doing presentations for 2 days, and then we'll get a group, and we'll go look at the mounds, and I'll give you a tour and do some explanations.
So, Spencer, go back to that picture. Go back. I'm sorry, Fritz. Let me show this. Folks, this is what they call the circle mounds, and you see the opening right here. This is a circle, 360 degrees, and then you see the opening, and you see the sun coming up in the middle of that opening. So they knew that when they built these, again, they did it geometrically according to the signs of the times, the seasons, all that. Unbelievable. Fritz, hang in there with us, Fritz. We've got to end the show here, but we'll have an after show. Folks, again, you can go to CoachDaveLive.com. Just buy your food. Come enjoy. Bring people with you. Bring your pastor with you. Bring your pastor with you so he'll get an understanding of what really, really happened here and how, the Bible is true. God bless you, folks. See you tomorrow. Hang in there with us, Fritz.